I get asked every so often by some of you and by other people I encounter abroad, near and far. The question is one that every pastor gets periodically, one that we're not sure what to do with sometimes. It's an interesting question. It's one that you're not sure what's behind, really. The question is, what do pastors do all day? So today my sermon is titled, What Does a Christian Do All Day? I'm slated to speak about the fundamental belief of Christian behavior on this Sabbath. And if anyone has advice for how to do that well in a week like this week, I would be glad to receive it. I'm still looking for a good way to do it. How does a young adult get up and affirm wholeheartedly their Adventist heritage when currently culture seems like it might be resembling the gospel better, at least on some issues, than one's own church? Pardon me for being frank, these are my opinions, and I know they're not shared by all, but this has been a tough week to be particularly proud to call myself an Adventist. But I would imagine that some of you out there feel the same way. Maybe you met someone this week and it came up that you're a Christian and they asked you what kind of Christian, and you shared with them you're an Adventist Christian and you hope that they weren't aware of all that was going on with your denomination at the moment, the debates that were being had, the things that were being said, the hedges that were being reinforced, the parameters that were being tightened and tightened and tightened, the beliefs that were being sharpened to weed out diversity in belief, the definitions that were being refined to draw lines in the sand, the women that were sent home with the message, you can do the work, but don't expect equality and don't expect the pay. How can you speak on Christian behavior on a week like this? Well, maybe this is the week for it. Maybe this is the time that we need to be reminded of what Christianity can look like. What does a Christian do? What do Adventists do all day? There are plenty of opinions out there about what Christian behavior is and what it should look like. And sadly enough, I think if we were to go out and pull non-Christians, hey, what is Christian behavior? What is it characterized by? What do Christians do? We wouldn't hear, well, Christians are for this, Christians are for this, Christians are for this. But actually, we might hear that, well, Christians are more characterized by what they don't do, what they refuse to do, what they avoid. What you don't do might be looked at as more important than what you do do. Maturity check. A simple Google search of the phrase Christian behavior showed this picture right at the top of the results. The image being a first result to a simple search indicates to me, at least, that if you were to ask a random person these might be the things that pop up in their mind. Well, I don't know what Christians are for, but I know that they don't drink or smoke, and that's what they're about. They go to church sometimes, once or twice a month. That's what Christian behavior is. And it's well and good. There are things that we would be wise to avoid in this life, but I have never been particularly compelled or inspired by the type of people that are more well known for the things that they're against than the things that they're for. I'd rather be proactive than reactive. That's why I am proud of this particular Christian belief. The first line of it is beautiful. It says this: we are called to be a godly people who think, feel, and act in harmony with the principles of heaven, with the principles of the kingdom. That I can affirm. That is something we should be characterized by: living, acting, feeling, thinking in harmony with the principles of the kingdom. If you're going off this Christian belief, it might be justification to move forward towards equality and ordination even in the face of an edict from higher levels of management. We are called to think, feel, and act in harmony with the principles of heaven. This, in my opinion, means equality for all should be at the forefront of what we are working for here. Don't let anyone be subjugated to a force that will demean them. If we paraphrase this fundamental belief, it says something quite similar to that. There is advice about how to stay healthy, how to avoid things that will enslave you, how to live healthfully in all areas of your life. Anything that will rob you of a full life, don't do it. If it's going to steal something from you, avoid it. The belief gives us counsel on how to engage in entertainment. And several months back, I heard our own Pastor Sam quoting the author L.N. Smith, and the line that he quoted has done work on me ever since. It bounces around in my head. The quote is this: every dollar that you spend or don't spend is a vote that you cast for how you want the world to be. The way that we live shows what we value, friends, what we are wanting to be a part of creating. This makes me think about what I engage in for entertainment, how I spend my resources, how I eat, how I treat my body, how I treat those around me, how I conduct myself. It also makes me think of the author Stephen R. Covey, his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Some of you have read it. The second habit is this: begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. And I will come back to that, so bookmark that. But before that, I've had a great time this week driving around to different people's homes, a number of church members, and interviewing a number of you about how you live out your Christianity. So we've got a video about some of us here amongst what Christian behavior in different areas of our lives means to us. So watch this.
I've always had this dream of someday serving as a missionary abroad to people that are in tremendous need. And how ironic that throughout my entire career as an emergency physician, I've been working in the midst of a mission field, essentially unaware, with eyes closed. I like to tell others that the people we take care of in our department, these are Jesus' people. These are the marginalized, the economically challenged, the victimized, and the dehumanized. It's the homeless. It's the alcoholic that's on the street. It's the commoditized or trafficked individual. It's the individual that has no access to healthcare because of their financial situation. These are all circumstances that are presented to us in our department on a daily basis. And I can tell you that every shift worked in ED, or as we call in our industry, the pit, is really now become an opportunity to really put God's beauty on display to those that we care for. And it is, it's really been a privilege that's changed my approach and my purpose as a physician.
Having some amazing mentors in my life, I have truly learned the value of mentorship. Currently, I get the pleasure of working with people of all age groups, and sometimes that comes with the opportunity to coach them in school and sports related instances, but also mentor them in life. I live out my Christianity while mentoring individuals by always relating my experiences, my walk with Christ, my growth path with what they are experiencing or what they potentially may experience in the future. In that way, it is my prayer that they don't have to go through some of the same pitfalls that I or those who have mentored me have experienced in the past, but also that they may experience the true joys that we continue to receive during our own life's journey.
I think I live up my Christianity at work by how I work with the students and my colleagues. I want in every situation for the people that I work with to experience God, to know that God loves them. And so whether it's in a discipline issue, which the kids always think of when they're like, oh, I have to go to Mrs. B's office, I want them to experience God there too. I want them to know that while God expects us to behave a certain way, there's also an incredible amount of love and grace that He gives us.
Amen.
And in working with my colleagues, also the same thing. I just, I want to treat them with the love that God has for us.
We as a family, we have made it an intentional choice to make sure that our faith is integrated in everything we do. So whether it be going to the movies, whether it be playing video games, or playing ping pong, or playing a sport, that what we believe to be true, what we believe to be right, is incorporated. Our values, our principles are incorporated in everything. So if we're watching a movie, for instance, how do our values and principles and morals play into what we watch as a family? And we make choices as a family.
And that's one of the things that we've taught our kids, is that, you know, it's not because you're not old enough to do something. It's because if our values aren't in line with what we're wanting to watch, then we won't watch it. But it's because of who we are in Christ, not because of our age.
And we made a big decision. We told the kids, hey, we won't let you do something that we are allowed to do. If you can't do it, we won't do it either. That way they understand that this is about values and morals. This is about principles.
In our retirement, we have many opportunities to show God's love and how we can share Him in the areas that we now will become involved in that we weren't involved in before. Grandkids are part of our life. I see people in our volunteer work at the community services at the church.
I watch out for my dad, who's almost 90, and I've helped other family members that have been and needed some legal help, and that I'm a paralegal besides an RN. And I thought perhaps when I retired that I would just be able to just sit back and just do whatever I please, mm-hmm. but I have found that through serving these people, not only do they get the help they need, but I get blessed immensely because I learn so much from them and all their situations. And that gives me a chance and opportunity to show people that we can do so much with God's help.
So worship to me is basically how you live your life. I think worship is seen through your everyday actions and through your heart, essentially. How I carry out worship, most importantly, is through music, specifically in church and in youth events and stuff like that. To me, it's really important to bring a much bigger group of people, so an entire community of people together, closer to God. It's powerful because we're all singing the same thing, we're all worshiping the same God, and it's one of my most favorite things ever.
I live out my Christianity through struggle by having a lot of faith, living day by day, and I also try to enjoy everything. I enjoy life, I enjoy family, I enjoy every birthday, I enjoy eating out, I enjoy every little time that I get with my big family. I also try not to swear, you know, the little things. Life is so short, and sometimes we waste so much time and so much energy on fighting, or on being sad, or on being down, and so I really try to just enjoy, you know, every day to the fullest. I try to focus on God, and by focusing on Him, then I believe that I'm able to love others more, and I'm able to enjoy others, and I'm able to enjoy things that maybe before were something that made me down or sad, but now because of the new lease that I get by just being alive every day, I'm able to enjoy every aspect of, you know, everyone, and I enjoy so much being with friends and family, and just enjoying life with them.
I think the common thread here, each person was talking about a different aspect of the Christian life, but the common thread might be, at least for these folks, that the Christian life is characterized by intention. It's characterized by engagement and wholehearted engagement, by doing the hard work of keeping your eyes open, for the opportunity to love at work, to mentor others, to worship with your whole being, whether that be through song or whether that be through service. Enjoying everything to the fullest, using your free time to engage in meaningful activities and soak up every God-given moment that you can, wringing it for every drop of joy and love that it's loaded with. Begin with the end in mind. The way we conduct ourselves should line up with what we want to be a part of creating in the world. And for the Seventh-day Adventist Christian, that has a unique twist. We are trying to create a healthier world, a more whole world, a more unified world, a more just world, a more beautiful world, a world that is being changed and made new by the values of the kingdom. When it comes to behavior, what you do all day, begin with the end in mind. I have to tell you this story. Shortly after landing in a Spanish-speaking district of churches where I worked in Eastern Washington before coming down here, an issue arose that I felt totally unprepared to deal with, being that I had just graduated college and was brand new. A teenage girl who attended the most conservative of the three churches that I was working with, the eldest in her family at 19, got pregnant well out of wedlock. You know how these things go. The boy who fathered the baby was nowhere in the picture and had no intention of stepping up to take responsibility. This girl's world seemed to be caving in. The church, being the most conservative one in the district, decided that Wednesday night, right after prayer meeting, there would be a meeting to decide how to handle the matter. Not really grasping the whole idea of what this meeting would be about, I showed up early and sat nervous about what was going to happen. I had pictures in my mind of the older saints calling down fire and brimstone. There had already been some serious talk, about revoking her membership and allowing her membership to be reprocessed only if she was rebaptized. So you can imagine my horror as I was sitting there in this tension-filled room. After a pause, Carmelita stood up. Carmelita was this old prophetess who walked around town with what seemed to be 100 pounds of clothing at all times, jackets and more jackets and scarves, and her little cap that she always wore and dresses down to the floor, and she would walk around muttering to herself, and if she bumped into you, she would quote to you some Ellen White and then carry on her way. A number of times, Carmelita had pulled me out of worship services to scold me about how the young ladies were dressing. Their skirts are not past their knees. Pastor, you must do something about this. You can imagine my horror when I saw Carmelita slowly stand up. I imagined she was going to call some fire down upon this poor girl, and I didn't know what my responsibility in this situation was. Would I have to intervene? Would I have to stand up? Hermana, no se puede hablar de una muchacha de Dios, una hija de Dios así en la casa de Dios, en el miércoles, el santo miércoles. I didn't know what was going to come out of Carmelita's mouth. But to my surprise, she stood up and in her thin rasp, she said this. She said, Hermanos, esta muchacha se ha portado mal. Yo sé. Pero la vamos a apoyar. Porque si no la apoyamos, entonces ¿quién? Cristo la apoya y yo también. ¿Qué dice la iglesia? I hear some amens. I'll translate so we can have everybody on the same page. Brothers and sisters, this girl has made some bad choices, but we're going to support her because if we don't, who will? Jesus is on her side, and so am I. What does the church say? And with that, what could have been a meeting where a tragic decision was made to revoke membership and to ostracize this girl. Instead, I watched as saint after saint showed their support, stood up and showed their support. Carmelita taught me something about beginning with the end in mind, about standing up and speaking out, about living out one's Christian values. This could have so easily been a much more tragic story. This young lady behaved in such a way that some saw as completely ignoring the 22nd fundamental belief, acting, behaving in a very unchristian manner, but instead of ostracizing her for it, a church member supported the 22nd fundamental belief and exemplified Christian behavior. We are called to be godly people who think, feel, and act in harmony with the principles of heaven, the belief says. Intentionality in everything, being careful and aware of what kind of world, what kind of community, what kind of culture we are creating by the way that we live. Live with intention, friends. Engage with the world around you, bringing love, joy, peace, justice, and equality where it doesn't exist, and affirming it wherever it does exist, whether it be in the church or well without. Within a couple of weeks, you'll start seeing a booth every other week out in the cafe area that will be highlighting a different way each month for us as individuals and as a church body to engage in our Christian values and to live out our Christianity and affect the world with the values of the kingdom. Look for that. You'll be hearing more about it in the coming weeks. We've got potluck next week. Come to that. We'll have a debrief afterwards. Come to that. Don't disengage. Don't unplug. Plug in. Live with intention. Engage fully.